One of the greatest privileges that the child of God has is the privilege of coming before God in prayer. The song we opened our service with tonight was a song that was played at Bob Ripple's funeral to begin it on Friday morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. But, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There's a forfeiture of a number of things that we could have simply because we don't take advantage of praying. But one of the promises of Scripture is that when we pray, God hears us and understands us and is capable of providing. As much as I appreciate the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," I like the words of Scripture even more, where the writer of Hebrews says, "For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That to me is probably one of my favorite passages or a couple verses out of the book of Hebrews. We have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, who understands because he's been here with us, took on humanity, suffered to a greater extent than any one of us will ever suffer, and understands the needs that we have. But implied in that verse is the fact that Jesus constantly relied upon his Father in prayer for everything that he needed and received it. Therefore, we can come boldly with freedom of expression and lay our heart's desires before God and find mercy or obtain mercy and find grace to help in the very time that we need it. With that, we should be privileged people. We should be prosperous people. But why is it sometimes when we pray, or sometimes when we have needs, we don't get from God what we think we should get? I'd like to share a couple of reasons with you tonight concerning prayer and specifically unanswered prayer. And my text is found in Isaiah chapter 59 and the first two verses. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." The passage, these two verses of Scripture speak of sin in the life of the believer, and I'm going to dwell on that in just a moment. But let me share quickly a couple of other reasons why it is that sometimes the needs that we have go unmet. Number one reason, according to James chapter 4, verse 2, we have not because we ask not. Sometimes, even in well-meaning groups, Sunday school classes, prayer meetings Wednesday night, small group Bible studies, whatever the case may be, we get together and we share prayer requests with one another. And we talk about those prayer requests and we describe those prayer requests. We oftentimes discuss what we can do about those prayer requests. And when it's all said and done, we forget to pray about those prayer requests. Consequently, while we may have done a lot of good in sharing them with other people, if we don't pray about them, we have not because we have not asked. Secondly, James chapter 4, verse 3 says that we don't receive because we ask it in order to consume it in our lusts. We ask it with a selfish motivation behind it. We had a little meeting, Ron and Larry and I, our official missions committee here at the church, working on our missions budget for next year to recommend to the consistory coming up and so forth. And we are talking about maintaining a balance between spending for missions and spending for the needs that we have here, being fiscally responsible and being also at the same time people of faith and willing to trust the Lord for whatever He would have us to do. I won't mention any names, but Larry brought up the idea of a person asking the Lord that they might win the lottery. Now, he was saying it, please don't take me, that I was suggesting that Larry thought that that was a good idea, but I think he was looking into my nose because I was going to mention that. I've oftentimes heard people praying about some things that just are outside the will of God. Lord, I really want to win the lottery. Well, I don't think the lottery is within the will of God. I think a person is looking to win the lottery so they can have a new vacation home or a new boat or whatever the case may be. And not that those things are necessarily evil things in and of themselves, but they want it all for themselves. Not, Lord, this is what I need to accomplish Your will in my life, but Lord, this is what I want for me. And consequently, God is not bound to answer that prayer. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because He has a different plan for our lives than what we perceive. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 10 through or 7 through 10, the Apostle Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh. And it was really something, pardon the pun, that was getting under his skin and irritating him. It was some type of physical malady, and it was serious. And Paul wasn't praying simply because he wanted good health for himself, and he was praying. In fact, the Scripture tells us that he asked the Lord three times to remove that thing from him. He was hoping that by the removal of that thorn in the flesh and the regaining of good health, that he could better serve the Lord. I think his motivations were pure. But God had a better plan for his life. He said, "My grace is sufficient unto thee. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Paul, I'm going to allow this thing. I'm not going to answer your prayer. And by not answering it, I'm going to give you something better than what you wanted. Sometimes our prayers are different from God's plan in that not that God has something better, it's just that we have something worse than what God wants. Poor old Jonah. You remember the story in the Old Testament how he had that first underwater submarine ride to the city of Nineveh. And he reluctantly went and preached the gospel unto those people. And those people repented. The king called a fast and sat with in sackcloth and ashes. And God spared the city of Nineveh. Now understand, the Ninevites were enemies of the nation of Israel. Jonah didn't want to preach to them because he wanted to see God's condemnation come down upon that people. After all, they could one day wipe out Israel. And actually, one day they would come against Israel as enemies. But nonetheless, Jonah went in obedience to the Lord and he preached the gospel and the people repented and he went outside the city. And pardon another pun, but he got out of his gourd. The sun was hot and this gourd came up that he sat under and he said, "See, Lord, I knew you were going to be kind and merciful to this people. It's not right." You know, there are some times where it is actually within the will of God to pray, quote unquote, evil upon others. In the Psalms, David prays occasionally for God's justice to meet it out. They're called the imprecatory Psalms, where he calls down the justice of God. And it's certainly not wrong to see God's justice enacted in a person's life, that the unjust would be caught in their sin and the righteous be exalted in this land in their righteousness. But there are simply times that God allows sin to go on and evil to go on because somewhere down the road he has a different plan. Can you imagine Saul of Tarsus as he is walking down the road to Damascus, what the church in Jerusalem was doing? Give you a hint, I'll bet you they had a special prayer meeting. Lord, here's this guy, he's walking down the road, he's going to be after those Christians down in Damascus. He's already been involved in the stoning of Stephen. Lord, this is not good for us. Lord, strike him down! And God had a different plan. Sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because His plan is different than our plan. Fourthly, sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we simply don't ask believing. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22 talks about if we ask God believing upon Him, that we have the things that we need of Him. But if we don't ask believing Him, and here's one of the problems that we oftentimes fall into, we believe in prayer. How many of you believe in prayer? Sad, sad, sad. That's not a right answer. It's not believe in God who answers prayer. Ah, you say, oh, Pastor, you're being technical. Well, yeah, I am being technical, but I am also trying to be biblical. I am not believing in my ability to pray when I pray. I'm believing in a God who answers, and there's a big difference. Sometimes we get hung up in prayers that we have to have the exact words, and if we don't say it right, that God will... We can approach the throne of grace with boldness, freedom of speech. Lord, I don't know how to ask this, but I'm just going to lay it out as I understand it. Oh, and by the way, when you don't even know what to say, and how many times have I been in that position where I've been praying for someone who's grieving or hurting or whatever the case may be, and I say, Lord, I don't even know how to pray, but I'm thankful that there's a Holy Spirit who can intercede on our behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. But it's not my faith in my ability to pray. It's not even my faith in the prayers that I utter. It's my faith in the God who answers it that makes the prayers effective. And because we don't trust God, well, God, I don't know if you can do this or not, but I'll ask anyway. Well, if you don't think that God can do it, why would you ask? Kind of a ridiculous request. I read one publication some time ago, a number of years ago, concerning the time of the Lord's rapture of the church. And this fellow was undecided as to what position he was holding in, and he put it this way, pray for pre, plan for post. Now, that's hard enough to say, but even more ridiculous to think about. Pray for pre-tribulation rapture, but plan for a post-tribulation rapture. Well, if you're planning for a rapture that's at the end of the tribulation, then if you're praying for a pre, you don't believe it's going to happen. Your prayers are without faith, and God is not obligated to answer those things. But what happens when we pray? We actually do pray. It's not for a selfish reason. We think we're praying for things that are found within the will of God, asking and believing that God can answer, and God doesn't answer. There is one thing that is left. And that's what this verse, two verses in Isaiah 59 speak of. It's not that the Lord cannot hear. It's not that He cannot answer. His hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. His ear is not dull, so He's going, I don't understand. No, I don't hear you down there. But because man has put a distance between himself and God because of his iniquities, God has chosen to literally turn away from man, to hide His face, so that He will not hear. What kind of sin keeps God from hearing? Let me give you three specific sins that will keep God from answering your prayers. First of all, a sin of a lack of relationship with God. If a man is not rightly related to God, God has no obligation to answer his prayers. I'm rejoicing. All my kids are out of the house. Generally speaking, Monday through Friday, the only one that's costing me money is myself. That's right. Oh, I did say Monday through Friday, didn't I? That leaves Saturday and Sunday, and that's when they usually come around. And if my sons or my daughter come to me and say, Dad, we've got a financial problem, we're short a little in cash, can you loan me some money? Because they are my children and because I love them, I will say, I will do whatever I can do. See your mother. No, I am disposed towards meeting their needs out of a heart that loves them. But should the neighbor kid come to my door, Mr. Reiner, I want to go down and buy something at the store and I have no money. Will you give me $5? Go see your own father or mother. Why trouble me? Well, my own dad or my own mom won't give it to me, and you're the only one left. Well, I'm sorry, but I have no obligation because you're not my child to meet your needs. You see, God is wanting to meet the needs of people. He is not willing that any should perish, and consequently, He has made provision for the entirety of the world to know Christ as Savior and be forgiven. But there are those who will say, no, God, I don't want what your best is. I don't want your son. I just want your riches. I want your favor. I want your applause from heaven, but I don't want to be your son. And God says, well, that's the case. I have no obligation to give you anything else. And even when you call, I was saying at the funeral on Friday morning, I was watching the History Channel the other night, and they had a segment on there about great dogfights in history. And this one Navy pilot from the Vietnam War was coming back. He had flown a mission over North Vietnam and had a dogfight with a North Vietnamese pilot. And apparently they surmised that it was one of their best pilots, and this guy shot him down. And as he was coming back from this mission, there was some ground-to-air fire, and the hydraulics on this plane was hit somehow, and he was losing control of the plane, and the thing caught fire, and he was desperately trying to get out over the ocean because he knew that if his plane went down and he had to eject out of the plane and land while over North Vietnam, he was going to become a prisoner of war. But if he could get out over the ocean, there was a good chance that American forces could come and rescue him, and he wouldn't be a prisoner of the war. And he said this. He said, I'm not a man given to prayer, but I remember praying and telling God to get me out of there because I don't want to be a prisoner. And I said to myself, how sad that is. I'm not a man given to prayer. I don't pray at all. Why? Because I have no relationship with the Father. But yet I have this need, so I'm going to go to the man next door, tell him I have a need. Well, God did get him out of that. He would live to tell the story. But may I say to you, it wasn't in answer to his prayer. It may have been an answer to someone else praying for him. It may have been simply in the plan of God to allow this man to continue to live, because somewhere down the road, maybe he would come to know Christ as Savior. I can't say why. But God didn't answer his prayer. Secondly, a lack of fellowship with God. He is writing here to Israelites who were his people. And if you read chapter 58, you will find out his people were very religious in nature. In fact, if you go back into that chapter, you'll find that their prayer life was joined with fasting. Their prayer life was called with religious rites and praises and that type of thing. They, if I can bring it to a 21st century scenario, they were coming to church faithfully. Just one problem. They were coming to church in order to get what they could from God rather than to give what they could to God. They were coming not as a matter of sacrifice. They were coming in order to get filled up. They really didn't want fellowship with God. Oh, they wanted fellowship with each other. But that's about it. And consequently, when it came to the everyday living, Isaiah 58 says they were taking advantage of the poor. They weren't acting in a just manner. They were living their lives however they wanted to live them. And chapter 59, verse 2 says, I'm not going to listen to those type of prayers. Thirdly, there is a sin of lack of fellowship with the people of God. Peter says that husbands and wives should have a right relationship between themselves in order that their prayers be not hindered. The Lord Jesus said, if you're coming and offering an offering and you recognize that your brother has something against you, leave your offering at the altar, go and make peace with thy brother, then come and offer your offering. There is a necessity, if you can't live right on earth, there's no possibility of living in the vertical fashion. How can a man say, I love God, and turn around to his neighbor and say, I hate you? How can you ask God for things when your brother comes to your door and says, be ye warmed and filled, and you turn him away? When there is a breakdown of relationship between two godly people, otherwise, God says, I have no obligation to answer those prayers. The greatest privilege that the child of God has is to come to a throne of grace and there obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. The greatest disaster is that we don't come sometimes, or that we ask for things that benefit us and not the glory of God, or that we ask without trusting Christ to provide, or even worse, we come to a holy God with sin in our lives. What kind of prayer will God hear when there is sin? Lord, here's my sin. Forgive me. And until that word comes out of your mouth, God will hear nothing else. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. Not only because we do not carry, but oftentimes because we do sin and don't take care of it. Let's be people with a clear line of communication to the God who wants to abundantly provide for us. Let's pray. Father, as much as I love the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, I hope by the end of this coming week, I don't have to sing, Oh, what peace I forfeited. And oh, what pain I've borne this week because I didn't come to you, or I came to you with motives that were wrong, a lack of faith, or sin in my life. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us gathered here tonight would be able to sing at the end of this week, oh, what peace we enjoyed, and oh, what pain we didn't bear. All because of the Christ of Calvary, upon whom we've laid our cares. We pray this in His wonderful name. Amen. Have a good week.